We're on Kuftes Vav Amid Beis. And before I show you where we're up to exactly, I'll just give a little bit of an introduction in which I hope to review a few of the main points that we spoke about and then raise a question which we got stuck with on yesterday and see if we can make any progress on it today. We're speaking about deriving the Iser Hanah in Basa B'Cholov, and we were suggesting that we derive it from Arla with a Kal V'Chomer, because Arla, which is Asa B'Hanah, is Lo Nevda B'Avera, whereas Basa B'Cholov is Nevda B'Avera. The Gemara then rejects the Kal V'Chomer from Arla, because Arla is a Chumra that we don't find in Basa B'Cholov, and that is that Lesle Shas HaKosher, that it was Asa from the beginning, whereas Basa B'Cholov was Mut, and then it became Asa. So Gemara now introduces Pesach, because Chametz B'Pesach, like Basa B'Cholov, had a Shas HaKosher, and yet it's Asa both B'Achila and B'Anah. So Gemara rejects the leaven from Chametz, because Chametz is a Chiyuv Kares, and that's why the Torah was more machmir to superimpose an Iser Hanah in the case of Chametz. Then the Gemara introduces Klai HaKerem, and this is all, by the way, a summary of the Brisa of Isi Ben Yehuda. So Isi Ben Yehuda ends his Brisa by quoting Klai HaKerem. What happens in Klai HaKerem? Klai HaKerem is an Iser Hanah, and yet it's not a Chiyuv Kares. Now, whether or not it has a Shas HaKosher is a little bit complicated, right? Because we said that that the Chumrah of Arla, which forced me to reject Arla, was because Arla had no Shas HaKosher, and it's possible, and we mentioned something yesterday in the name of Rabbeinu Gershon, that Klai HaKerem likewise fits that description of Lesle, it doesn't have a Shas HaKosher. That's complicated because, again, it all depends upon what Shas HaKosher means. But be that as it may, what we have now is the following. We have Basa B'Cholov, which is very unique because it's called Nevda B'Avera. Now, Klai HaKerem is also Nevda B'Avera, because in Klai HaKerem we have two Averos. We have the Avera of not planting them together, and number two, we have the Avera of not eating that which was planted. So in a certain sense, we have a very striking similarity between Klai HaKerem and Basa B'Cholov. However, and this is where we get stuck a little bit, there's no possibility, says Isi Ben Yehuda, of deriving Basa B'Cholov from Klai HaKerem. We're not sure why. So that's the unknown here. That's sort of like the Joker card in the sugi. But we have to move on by living with this question. And the question is why we cannot derive Basa B'Cholov directly from Klai HaKerem. What Isi Ben Yehuda is able to do is he's able to use Klai HaKerem to get me back to my original position in which I wanted to derive Isi Hanah and Basa B'Cholov from Arla and Chametz. And if you have a pircha from Chametz, because Chametz is a Chiyuv Kares, I'll quote to you Klai HaKerem. So Klai HaKerem is coming here through the back door as only a tag on in order to undermine and neutralize the pircha that we had on Chametz. Do you follow me? So once we get rid of that pircha on Chametz, then we can use Chametz, and Chametz will plug up the pircha on Arla. Fine. Now, here's the beginning of the of the sugya that we tried to learn yesterday. Isi Ben Yehuda begins the story, his journey begins with the Gzeirah Shavah from Treifa. That Gzeirah Shavah from Treifa, Kodesh Kodesh, is going to teach me the Iser Achila in Basa B'Cholov, because the Torah only mentions Bishul. So now the Gemara asks, and this was our sugya of yesterday, why does Isi Ben Yehuda require a Gzeirah Shavah from Treifa in order to establish the Isra Achila, and then at stage two, we're going to derive the Isra Hanor from the combination of Orla, Chametz, and Klai Kerem. Why not just go straight, just jump over jump over the river here, leave out Trefa, and derive from this, this three, we'll call it the Three Musketeers, let's derive both an Isra Achila and an Isra Hanor, because what's common to both Orla and Chametz, and certainly Klai Kerem, is that they have not only an Isra Hanor, but an Isra Achila. So why do we need this first step of Trefa? So that was the question that the Gemara asked over here when it says Lamali Gzeres Shava. So now let's, for the first time, let's look inside and let's see if we can find the place. And we're again, as I said before, we're on Daf Kuftes Vav Amud Beis, and we're looking here. Let's just see if we can find the place. Again, if you could help me out here, we're looking for the words Lomali Zeres Shava. Oh, here it is. Do you see it? Tosus Dibra Maskel Choresh? So if you draw a straight line from Tosus Dibra Maskel Choresh, you'll see the words Lomali Zeres Shava. Lase Kula. Let's derive everything, meaning both the Isra Achila and the Isra Hanor, the Kalachome Orla. And what was the Kalachome Orla? Ma Orla lo shalom nevdeba vera, asura bein b'achila bein b'hanor, bas b'chol shenevdeba vera, enu din, how much more so shal asur bein b'achila bein b'hanor. So basically, these three lines in the Gemara are just a reformulation of the Kal Vachomer from Orla, but adding the words Bein Bachila, etc. Meaning that why do you have to build your case from Orla on the shoulders of the Gzeres Shava to Trefa that generates an Isra Achila? Why not just go straight and derive both Achila and Hanor, both Isurim, from Orla, with the same identical Kal Vachomer? Now, I want to just point out the obvious, that even though the Gemara only mentions Orla here in its formulation of the Kal Vachomer, obviously we're going to have to introduce Chametz, because Orla is Lo Haisos Lo Shasa Kosher. And again, Chametz itself is not going to be sufficient, because Chametz has the Chumra of a Chiyuv Karis. So we're going to have to introduce Klai Kerem. And again, as I said before, we're not sure where and what exactly is the role of Klai Kerem in this whole picture. Because if there's a pircha on Chametz because these are Kareis, then we can have it Tzad HaShomer to Arla because Arla is not Chayv Kareis. So we don't know exactly why we need the proof from Klai Kerem, and that's going to be the subject of our discussion today. And not only that, we have another problem. It's like tarity with Reisa, because if there is room to compare Klai Kerem with Bas V'Cholav, then that alone should give us the Isra Hanor in Bas V'Cholav. We could drop the ball, completely omit the Kal Vachomer from Orla and Chametz. So those are the questions that we have to somehow come to grips with. But on a pashtus level, without being too smart about it, what we do know is that Klai Kerem is an answer to the question, to the pircha of Chametz, which is only has the chumah that's a few kares, and Klai Kerem is only an Isur lav with malchus, but it's not an Isur kares, and yet it's also vana. Fine. So now the question is, why do we need trefa? So the Gemara answers, Mishum de ikal of Meimar, Choresh b'shar u'b'chamar v'chosim pipar v'dash bo yochiach. Which means the following, that your big deal here about Bas V'Cholav, and that was the basis of your Kal Vachomer, meaning the Chumrin Bas V'Cholav, was the fact that Bas V'Cholav was Nevda Ba'Vera. Well, I'll tell you what, I have news for you. I'm going to show you two cases where it's never the Bavera, and yet there's no Isra Achila, there's no Isra Hanna. So I took a Shor and a Chamar, I did the Savera of Kalayim, I plowed together with them, and the Shor and the Chamar, although I violated the Avera, are nevertheless still mutter. The Torah never proposes that you cannot eat the Shor, you cannot eat the Chamar, even though you did an Avera. So the fact that you did an Avera with something, like for example, you took the Basar and the Chol and you cooked it together, that doesn't mean that that's a reason to be Gorim and Iser. I'll give you something where you did an Avera, and yet it's not Gorim and Iser. The same thing in Chosin Pipar. So therefore, what the Gemara is telling us is that I cannot derive a Kal V'Chomer because of the Chumra Basar V'Cholov. If I have a situation where that same Chumra Basar V'Cholov exists elsewhere, it's not even in Isra Achila. So I need to get, in order to get to first base on this whole Kal V'Chomer, what I need to do is I have to knock off Shor V'Chamor and Pipar. And how do I do so? Because I'm going to tell you that I have this Gzeres Shoveh to Trefa, which establishes an Isra Achila. And that means that Shor V'Chamor and Pipar is out of the ballpark. Why? Because they're Mutav Achila. So they don't even shine, that's not even relevant to our discussion. We're already learning the parasha of Isri Achila, and based on the Kal V'Chomer, because of the Chumra Basar V'Cholov Shenev de Bavera, we're going to up the ante from an Isri Achila to an Isri Hanna, just to the same extent we found an Isri Hanna in Arla, and we found an Isri Hanna in Chames, how much more so in Basar V'Cholov, given the Chumra Basar V'Cholov Nev de Bavera, it should be also Achilu Bahana. And now we've completely cut off this question, this objection from Chosin Pipar, from Shom Chamor, because there the Torah says that it's Mutav Achilu. We're dealing with the subject that we're dealing with, and the kotaret here is Isuri Achilu. And we want to know if we could take Isuri Achilu and up the ante to Isur Hanna. Okay, fine. So that far we got. Now the Gemara is going to go back to Isi Ben Yehuda and try to figure out why we need Klai Akerem. Lomeli lemeber Klai Akerem yochiach lema orla tochiach v'leheder dina v'leisi b'mameat sad. So this is a real mouthful. The Gemara is saying now that there's one point here in Isi Ben Yehuda, which seems to be like the whole punchline of Isi Ben Yehuda's drasha and Yalfusa, namely Klai Akerem Yochiach. Well, why do we need Klai Akerem Yochiach? So this was one of the two questions that were, you know, the gaping holes in this whole sugya. Cut out Klai Akerem, because if your pircha on Orla is going to be Mala Orla, that it doesn't have a Shasa Kosher, I'm going to talk about Chametz. And if you're going to talk about Chametz and say, well, there's a Pirchon Chametz of what? Of Yisra, no, I can go back to Orla. And that's going to give me a Bamat Sad. And Bamat Sad means Loroi Zekroi Zeh. That's a shock between Orla and Chametz, is that both Yisri Anah, and they're both lacking the Chumra of Nevda Bavera, and yet the Torah says it's Osir Hanna. How much more so in the case of Basar V'Cholov should certainly be Osir Hanna, because it has the Chumra of Nevda Bavera. So why does the Braisa need Klai Akerem? Now, the assumption here in this Gemara is that Klai Akerem is not an independent limud. What do I mean? That if I wanted to, you know, start from scratch, throw out everything, and just ask the following question, how do we know that Basar V'Cholov is also Isra Hanna, and just derive it directly from Klai Akerem? That's not an option. Why isn't that an option? I'm not sure. I would think that Klai Akerem is Nevda Bavera. Now, in the middle of the night, it occurred to me that maybe the reason why you cannot learn bas v'chol directly from klei kerem is because what would happen if, let's say, wheat grains would fall from the heavens in close proximity to the kerem, and they grew together, would the product of that that vegetation be osur klei kerem? And the answer, I think, is yes. Maybe that's going to prove to me that klei kerem is called lo nevdav avera, which would mean that we now have a kal v'chomer from klei kerem to bas v'chol, because klei kerem is also anah and it's lo nevdav avera. How much more so bas v'chol should be also anah because it's nevdav avera. But again, I'm not so happy about that, because if you recall, we said that even the bas v'cholov, if the cholov falls from heaven into the pot of meat, then it generates a nisa bas v'cholov. So all we needed was to show that in one case, the nisa bas v'cholov is a result of the avera, and in that case, the avera is the goremes of the nisa bas v'cholov. And in klei kerem, you could say the same, that in one situation, the avera of planting the zroim of thrua together with the kerem, that's what generates the isur klei kerem. So I'm not sure where or how a kal v'chomer might work if I only have klei kerem and chometz b'pesach. I'm sorry, if I only had klei kerem and bas v'chol, if that was my equation. Now, here we can ask another question, and that is, maybe klei kerem is not comparable to bas v'cholov because of the same reason that orla is not comparable to bas v'cholov. If you remember, we said in orla it's lo hoysel l'shas kosher. So if we assume that in klei kerem lo hoysel l'shas kosher, then we would have a problem if we wanted to derive bas v'cholov directly and independently from klei kerem. So the truth is that information, I think, has to be classified. I'll tell you why. Because the Gemara later on is going to raise this problem, this objection, that klei kerem is a case of lo hoysel l'shas kosher, and therefore it has the same chumra as orl. But I don't think the Gemara now is aware of that. You understand what I mean? From the fact that the Gemara raises this as a pircha later on in the sugya, it seems to me that the Gemara is operating at this point without that pircha. Okay.
Well, then maybe klei kerem is more like chosin shor and bishovan and those kinds of things.
Right.
The isur of the of the action is
of natiya meaning the planting.
The planting is removed from the eating part.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Sorry. So again, Rabos, I still have this gnawing problem that's gnawing at me, Yom Valilo, and that is, why did the Brisa need a hochacha from klei kerem? Why did the Brisa just learn bas v'chol directly from klei kerem? Did not pass go. So let me read to you a footnote here. No.
Okay.
It's premature. We didn't get to this footnote yet. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. So again, l'chora, I still have this question. Why didn't we derive bas v'chol with the kal v'chomer from klei kerem? Because in the case of klei kerem, we're not sure that there's an avera necessarily. There may be situations in which there is. And yet the Torah has an isur hanah. How much more so bas v'chol, which is nevdav avera? Fine. Now, yesterday we had a discussion about Tosfos in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Mir Leinish. That was the end of Tosfos Klei Kerem, and that was based on the principle called called Hutter Mechlov. Because Tosfos thinks that Bas V'Cholov is Hutter Mechlov because it's Mutter in the case of Bein Matmeh, and Tosfos rejects this because he basically says that Bas V'Cholov was never us in the case of Bein Matmeh, and Hutter Mechlov is something that was included in Isa and then it was Mutter. And in the case of Chaylev, for example, we're going to derive that from the pasuk Kol Chaylev, and even though Chaylev of a Chaya is Mutter, that's called Hutter Mechlov. Fine, that was the discussion that we had in this Tosfos. I'm just for my own purposes. I hope you'll be mindful of me. I'm doing the chazor. Oh. So now we found, now we have Rav Ashi. Now Rav Ashi is going to try to explain to me why a tzad shoveh would not be sufficient. Why do you have to introduce the third point in this triangle, namely klei kerem, when we can remove the pircha from chametz by simply introducing oil? If you could stay local, you don't have to stretch your arm out, you know, out of the box. We have orla and we have chametz, and that would create a tzad shoveh. Why do you have to go out to klei kerem? So what Rav Ashi is going to try to accomplish now is he's going to try to introduce a pircha on the two together. Meaning if you had A plus B, I have orla plus chametz, we have a pircha on both of them. Now what we're about to learn is something called a pircha, just one second, a pircha of nevela. Well, what do I mean by a pircha of nevela? A pircha of nevela means that you're trying to tell me that the Torah operates with a rule that if we have whatever reason we have to upgrade an Isra Achila to an Isra Hana, like for example, we'll do so in Arla because it is Lo Haisol HaShasakosh. We'll do so in Chametz because it's in Isra Karis. We might do so in Basul Cholim because it's Nevda Bavir. We always have some sort of reasoning that ups the ante from Isra Achila all the way up to Isra Hana. The problem is Nevela. Why? Because Nevela really upsets the apple cart. It sets a precedent that sometimes the Torah says, you know what? It's sufficient to impose an Isra Achila without going a step beyond. Now again, you may say to me, well, I'll tell you why. In Nevela we don't have neither A, B, or C. We don't have Nevda Bavera, we don't have an Isra Kares, we don't have Lo Haisol HaShasa Kosher. Well, actually, it depends how you learn Nevela. Again, in that part. So I'm not sure exactly. But let's assume, if you don't mind, that Nevela is Lo Haisol HaShasa Kosher. So you might say the following, that Rav Ashi's answer is very difficult. Rav Ashi says, Mishun Dikol Meimar Nevela Tochiyach. He has a pircha from Nevela. Shasur Vachilu Muteres Ba'ano. So the Brisa needs Klai Akerem because of this pircha from Nevela. Now, I have two questions. Number one, I don't really understand the pircha from Nevela. Number two, I don't understand how Klai Akerem is going to solve your problem. So if you remember yesterday, what I presented to you was a marsha. The marsha seems to say the following. That Lachain Lomda Brisa Gabmi Klai Akerem. Why did the Brisa need, according to Rav Ashi, an additional, you know, third point in the triangle, namely Klai Akerem? Shemitok Kaki Efshalochiach Minavela Shemuteres Vahano Sharei Minavela Lo Nasta Bavera. So that if you can introduce Nevela as your Pircha, so I'm going to tell you that, you know why Nevela is not Osa Bahano? Because Lo Nasta Bavera. That the reason why Nevela is Mutar B'Ano is because Lo Nevda Ba'Avera Masha'en Kein Bas V'Chal V'Klai Akerem. So you see that the Marsha is assuming now that Klai Akerem is Nasta B'Em Avera. Not the way I wanted to say that, you know, what happens if a Zera, you know, if one of the five species of Daga or this would fall down from heaven. He's assuming, no, Klai Kerem, like Bas B'Chol, is also considered Nasa B'Avera. And it's Osir B'Ano. So let's just try to enjoy what we can enjoy from the taste of this Marsha. Namely, that Nevela now is going to be put into a box, and we're going to lock it up and throw away the key. Then Nevela is not going to tell us anything. And it's not going to be an objection. And why is Nevela Mutar B'Ano? The answer is because I have Klai Akerem and Basa B'Chola, both of which are Nevda B'Avera, and therefore both of which are going to be Osir B'Ano. If Klai Akerem, which is Nevda B'Avera, is Osir B'Ano, so too Basa B'Chola, which is Nevda B'Avera, is Osir B'Ano. That's the way Marsha is learning. And that's why Isi ben Yehuda introduces Kloya Keren. Again, we're still stuck with the following question. Once Isi ben Yehuda introduces Kloya Keren, couldn't he have just completely omitted, dropped the ball on Orla and Chametz? So that question still remains, that joker question that I keep harboring on. Why Kloya Keren itself alone, independent of Orla and Chametz, wouldn't have been sufficient to derive the conclusion that Basim Chol is also not known. But what I do understand for this Marsha, so let's enjoy what we can enjoy, is that now your question from Nevela should set a precedent of an Isra Achilu without an Isra Hanna, is no longer a question. Why? Because Nevela doesn't have this element that is critical in generating an Isra Hanna, namely Nevda Bavera. Klai Kerem indicates that if you have this element of Chumra, that Nevdu Bavera, therefore it's going to be also Manna. And that's enough to teach me Bas Mechol. And Bas Mechol likewise has that element of Nevdu Bavera, and therefore it's also Manna. But let's go back to our original question. What was the Pircha from Nevela? And that's exactly what I think the Gemara is going to say now. Amale Rav Mardechai Rav Ashi. I really am not happy with your understanding as to why the Tzad HaShavah itself is not sufficient by introducing a pircha from the veil. Hachi Amrina Mishmeder of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is going to give us a klal, and that klal is going to tell me about a Tzad HaShavah and how powerful a Tzad HaShavah is. And based on this principle of Reish Lakish, Rav Mordechai claims, there is no pircha from the veil. Why? Because Reish Lakish says that kol b'metzad migufo parchina me'alma lo parchina. So Reish Lakish is setting up the rules and regulations of Hilchas Pircha as they apply to b'metzad. Not every pircha is a pircha. We need a pircha migufo, but not me'alma. So what does that mean? A Tzad HaShavah means you introduce A plus B and you combine them together. If you want to show me something that is common to A plus B that generates the din, that's a valid pircha. So if, for example, you would find a chumra that's common to both Arla and Chametz, so Reish Lakish would say that's a beautiful pircha. You know, Mala Arla v'Chametz, that they both have X, whatever that X might be, and that's the chumra that generates the iser, you know, the iser hano. That's called migufo. Migufo means let me find some pircha based on a chumra in the two elements that make up the mamet tzad. But me'alma, once you're outside the purview of the mamet tzad, for example, you want to introduce nevela. Nevela is not going to be a pircha because nevela can't puncture a hole, so to speak, on a b'metzad, because nevela is not part of the b'metzad. Only that which is part of the b'metzad can lend itself to a pircha. So that once I have the commonality between Arla and Chametz, and that commonality could produce an Isra Hanna, don't ask me from something that doesn't have any of those features. And it's mutabahana, because that's outside of the circle of the Bamat Sad. Rabosa, are you with me on this? Again, I'm doing the best I can. This is very, very complicated. It makes sense to have an inner pircha, which is called migufo, because then what you're going to say is that A and B can't produce C if A and B have a common chumer that doesn't apply to C. That would be a pircha. But that's not what you found. You didn't find the common chumer to both Arla and Chametz that doesn't apply to Basav Cholav. What you did find is a case of something that's Asav Achila and it's Mutav Anah. That doesn't mean a thing. I'm trying to find out if Basav Cholav is Asav Anah. So if I have two cases which are Asav Anah and I have a Kal V'Chomer, then they can teach me that Basav Cholav is Asav Anah. You're asking me from an Isra Achila. Isra Achila is not part of the equation. We want to know Under what circumstances did the Torah prohibit hana? And we're going to try to get the basic ingredients. And the ingredients that we have are derived from Orla and Chometz. And now with a couple of Chomer, because Basa Cholov is Nebda Bavera, we're going to derive the Yisra Hanah Basa Bacholov. Now you're asking from a case where the Torah said it's Mutabana. Okay, so the Torah said X is Mutabana. But here are two cases where it's also Bana. And from the Tzad HaShem, these two cases, I can derive a Kal V'Chomer to Basa Bacholov. So therefore, we're back to square one. This is what Rav Mordechai is saying to Rav Ashi. You are telling me that the reason, the justification for Isi Ben Yudah introducing what? Klaya Kerem is because of the Pircha from the Vela. I have bad news for you, Rav Ashi. There is no Pircha from the Vela. Because the Pircha from the Vela is not Mi Gufa but Mi Alma. And a Pircha of Mi Alma cannot dent a Tzad HaShava. Those are the rules of the game. And honestly, I think in this case, I understand the rules of the game. There's a natural, intuitive understanding of what the Gemara is saying. So therefore, Yehachi, we're back to square one, tasting the Matzah. What was that question from before on Issa ben Yehuda? Why did Issa ben Yehuda feel compelled to introduce Klai HaKerem? Klai HaKerem is totally superfluous here. I can introduce Orla and Chometz and create a Tzad HaShem from Orla and Chometz and Dayenu. Unless you find an inner pircha, which is called Migufo Parchina, which means that you have some kind of Chumra that applies both to Orla and to Chometz, that doesn't apply to Basa V'Cholav, if you can't come up with that, then the Tzad HaShem remains impervious. So why do you feel compelled, Issa ben Yehuda, to introduce Klai HaKerem? So the Gemara answers. Now this could be Rav Mordechai, because again, since Rav Ashi did not succeed, according to Rav Mordechai, in answering the question why we need Klai HaKerem, and Avela is not going to make a dent, so now the ball is in Rav Mordechai's court. And Rav Mordechai now has to face the music and try to justify why Issa ben Yehuda needs Klai HaKerem. Why can he derive it from the Tzad HaShov? So what Rav Mordechai is going to do is, he's going to introduce a pircha that is a common pircha from both Orla and Chometz, which is called Migufo Parchino, correct? So what's the Migufo Parchino? It says, Rav Mordechai, Mishum De'ikol Mifrach, Malat Tzad HaShov Shepen, in both, I have the following ingredient that's common to both Orla and Chometz. Shekein Gidule Karka. In other words, you have no right to create an analogy between Basar V'Cholav and these two, because Basar V'Cholav has nothing to do with Gidule Karka. You took Basar, which is an animal, you took Cholav, which is from an animal, and you took two products of animals and you combine them. Well, that doesn't come into the realm of Gidule Karka. There are certain laws that the Torah imposes on Gidule Karka that are very unique to Gidule Karka. For example, we find the Mishnah in Kiddushin that anything that grows from the ground in Eretz Yisrael is chayv in the mitzvah to leave forests. Or for example, in Hilchos Shabbos we have halacha that disha and other halachas only apply to gedulei karka and to exclusion of animals. So animals are not the same as gedulei karka. Even in Dini Mominos, I mean, animals are metaltal and karka is karka, with many different demons, that shibud machal on karka, not on metaltal, not an animal. In terms of those kinyonim, there's certain kinyonim that would apply to karka, like for example chazaka, that don't apply to metaltal. Metaltal needs the mashikha, or whatever it is. So that karka is a separate entity, and not only a demominus, and also an isa v'heta. There's certain isurim that apply to gedulei karka, for example, trumas and maisers and so forth, that don't apply to behemos. So therefore, we have now a pircha migufa. Now wait a second. I'm laughing. The whole thing makes no sense, Rav Mordechai. I don't know if I should be laughing or crying. Because The purpose of Rav Mordechai is to justify why Issim ben Yehuda needs Klei Akerem. So obviously Klei Akerem doesn't have that pirch. Frank the Gemara, Ihachi Ashtanami Ikel Mitzvah, Mala Klei Akerem Shekein Genui Karaka. What was Rav Mordechai talking about here? Did he wake up on the wrong side of the bed? The whole Havamina of Rav Mordechai makes no sense. Because you're going to introduce Klei Akerem as your third element in the equation, you know, the triangle as I call it. When Klei Akerem suffers is vulnerable to the same exact pircha for which I introduced Klei Akerem. What forced me to introduce Klei Akerem is because we cannot derive Bas Bechol, which is not Gedui Karka, from all and Chomis, which is Gedui Karka. And now you're telling me Klei Akerem Yochia. So now Rav Baruch has to go back to the drawing board of Reish Lakish. We said before that Reish Lakish is he's the giant in giving us the rules and regulations for Tzad HaShava, for Pirchus. So we go back to Reish Lakish. Amalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi, Hachi Amrina Mishmei de Reish Lakish, Kol Bameh Hatzad Parchinon Koldu. But Lo Ima Marta is Kal V'Chomer Parchinon, but Koldu Lo Parchinon. Okay, so now Rabosai, until now we've spoken about a lower level pircha, which is called Me'alma, but now Reish Lakish introduces another lower level, another description of a pircha, which puts it on a very low level. And that is called a pircha koldu. So let me try to explain what I think is a pircha koldu, and see if we can take it from there. A pircha koldu means that you describe a commonality between A plus B, but it has nothing to do with the din, the halach that you want to derive from A and B. In other words, if you want to derive an iser hanah from chametz and arlan and tzad hashaveh, I can talk to you about chumus. I can say to you, well, don't derive anything from these two because they both have a common chumra. And that chumra is a goremes es hadin. So if I want to know why the Torah says, I don't mean a philosophical why, but a halachic why, that Orla and Klei Akerem are asur b'ana, the answer is because of the following reasons. And if I come up with a reason that doesn't apply to Bas V'Cholav, then I undermine the Kal V'Chomer. But if I come up with a commonality which has nothing to do with the din, you know, I can say that they both start with the fourth letter of the alphabet. You know what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with the Isra Hanah whatsoever. It's not a Gorin. It's not a Chumra. That's called a Pircha Koldu. So, for example, the Gemara thinks that Gedui Karka is called a Pircha Koldu. Why? Because Gedui Karka is not a reason to generate an Isur Hanah. We have Isur Hanah that don't apply to Gedui Karka. And for example, Hegdesh is not limited to Gedui Karka, and it's also Banah. And Nedarim may be generated in Isur Hanah, and they have nothing necessarily to do with Gedui Karka. It may apply also to Gedui Karka, but it's not limited to Gedui Karka. And Bas V'Cholav, for example, might be a candidate for an Isur Hanah, even though it's not Gedui Karka. So the Gemara doesn't think that Gedui Karka is a Gorin as Hadin. For example, we mentioned that there's certain malachas on Shabbos that are limited to Gedui Karka. The reason for that is because the Torah is talking about Sidur de Pas, that these malachas are also because they are steps in the process of producing bread. So that applies only to Gedui Karka. Or, for example, we spoke about Mitzvah Hatzlius Baretz. Very Gedui Karka is a Gorin as Hadin, because it's Kedushas Karka that generates these Isurim. But in the case of Isur Hanah, in Macholas Asuras, there's no reason why Gedui Karka should play any role to be Gorin as Hadin. And therefore, that Pircha is a Pircha Koldu. Now says Rav Mordechai, let's analyze the laws of a Pircha Koldu. Is a Pircha Koldu valid or is it not? And the answer is depends. If the Pircha Koldu is going against a Tzad HaShava, then that's that's valid. That's a real bona fide pircha. You can check it off. But if the pircha is going against a ma'alib, which means a what does Mark call it? A lo mamarta, which means that I've introduced a third element into the equation, then a pircha kol dehu is totally invalid. It's not a pircha at all. So herein, according to Rabbi Mordechai, lies the answer to why Issa ben Yehuda was forced to introduce Klei Keren. He needs that third point in the triangle. Why? Because if we only have the Tzadah Shoveh of what? Of Orla and Chameis, then we have a Pircha Koldu. And a Pircha Koldu is enough to undermine a Tzadah Shoveh. If I can show you that these two things, A plus B, have a unique common, and leave out the word unique, they have a commonality, a common denominator, then I cannot derive C if C is lacking that common denominator. So if C is not the Gilui Karak, I can't derive from a Me'atzad and Anisar Hanon. Why? Because the Bametzad are Gidui Karka and Basbacholov, the Nilmad is not Gidui Karka. That's called the Pircha Koldu. But if I can introduce a Yochiach, now what allows me to introduce the Yochiach from Klei Keren? It's the fact that we had a Pircha on Chameis because Chameis was a Chiv Kareis, but now we introduce Klei Keren into the equation, and Klei Keren is not a Chiv Kareis. So you see that Kareis is not the Gorim Es Hadin of Isur Hanon. Now you're talking about logic. Now you're talking about introducing again, what's the language? A loim amarta. The loim amarta, the whole purpose of the loim amarta is to show you which is gorim esadin and which is not gorim esadin, which is a kal and which is a chomel. And at this point, a pircha koldu will make no dent. Why? Because Gedulei Karak is no more of a reason to generate an Isra Hanor than something that's Lav Gedulei Karak, that's Behema Chayviyot. So as long as we were stuck with what? With Arla and Chameitz, and we didn't have a Pircha which would force us to introduce Loim Amarta, Klei Karem, and we only have A plus B, then I have a right to unwind the Tzadah Shoveh with a Pircha Koldu. Let's read it again. Hachi Amrina Mishmeidu Eish Lakish. Kol Bameh Tzad Parchinen Koldu. It means a Pircha of a Koldu is valid to undermine a Bameh Tzad. However, once I introduce a third element into the equation, which is called the Loim Amarta, then I'm thrust into the world of logic, meaning logic means what's goring the din, and that's called kal v'chomer. So if you have a pircha from a kal v'chomer, because you're going to tell me, well, you know, it's common to all these, it's a certain chomer that doesn't exist in bas v'cholov, that's a valid pircha. But a pircha koldu, once you're involved in the logic of kal v'chomer, meaning these variables, the reason to be Oser, which is called a chumra, the reason to be matir, which is called a kula, then a pircha koldu doesn't tell me a thing. And therefore, your question from Gedulei Karak is no longer a question. But for this, what's critical is to introduce Klei Keren. That's the
Gedulei Karak is not relevant.
By the way, in Issa ben Yehuda, does he use the words lo mamarta? Let me just go back to Issa ben Yehuda, just 1 second. Tanya, Issa ben Yehuda, Osamana, the Mala Orla, she came up, Lo Hoysel, Chamis, and his children said, Good, Mala Chamis, she came up, Klai Karmio, Chichu. Okay, it doesn't say Lo and Mamarta, but I think that you could plug in the words Lo and Mamarta. Oh, so now the Gemara asks Akash, now who's talking? And now it's Ravashi, because here, Ravashi is the Gebedusim, because he's the one who offered the answer from the Vela, and Rav Mordechai, based on Reish Lakish, rejected the Pirka from the Vela, because that's called Me'alma, Velo Parchinon. But now Rav Mordechai has offered another suggestion as to why we needed Klei Keren, and that's because it's a Pircha Koldu, and a Pircha Koldu could make no dent once you introduce Klei Keren. Is Lifach Lekulu malakulu she came to do a karka. Means at this point, Rav Ashi rejects the premise of Rav Mordechai, namely that Kiddui Karka is not relevant to this discussion, and it's a Pircha Koldu, and he's saying no, that Kloya Kerem is further proof that Kiddui Karka is also Mano, that when the Torah gets to Kiddui Karka, it's a Chumra. So therefore, according to Rav Ashi's Kasha, how could we possibly derive Basa B'cholov, which is not Kiddui Karka, from Arla, Chametz, and Klai Kerem, when all three are Gedulei Karka? In other words, what he's understanding, Rav Ashi, is that once you introduce Klai Kerem into the equation, then Klai Kerem becomes a Malamed. It's not just plugging up, you know, the pirch that we had on Chametz, because Chametz is also the Kares, but now Klai Kerem plays a major role. It's not in the background, but it comes forward, front stage. And if it comes front stage, then it's all part of the Bamatzad. Once it's all part of the Bamatzad, then we can activate Reish Lakish's principle that on a Bamatzad, we can ask even a Pircha Koldu. Now on this we have a footnote that I accidentally thought earlier we were ripe for, but now I think we're ripe for it. And he says the following, Kushas Rav Ashi hi ala braisa shalomda mishloshtan, which means the following, that if we're going to derive bas v'chol from A, B, and C, then we have this pircha, is malakulu shekein kidui karka. Aval lefiha emes, he says, lefiha emes eshel lilmod rak b'vamem atzinu mikloi karen. Here's that skeleton in the closet that comes back to haunt us again. That we can drop the ball on Orla and Chametz and go directly to Kloya Kerem. And that's called Bamem Matzinu. We don't even need a Kal V'chomer with the Tzad HaShavu. All we have is Bamem Matzinu. Bamem Matzinu means you have two things that are equal. And then there's no Pircha in Bamem Matzinu from Gidulei Karka. Why? Because the limud is from one halacha. In other words, when do you have this pircha koldu? Well, they're all gedulei karka. That's only when you derive it from two or three. But if you derive it from one, then there's no such thing as a pircha koldu on a bamei matzino. In other words, if the Torah says that klaya kerem is, let's say, nevda bavera and it's also vanah, then bas b'chol is nevda bavera and it's also vanah. And to make chilukim and pirchas that are not totally in svara are totally irrelevant here. So now he attaches this to two rishonim. Number one, to Tosas Dimask of Velifroch. And see, let's underline these words. V'afgadim mikloy akerem ikal mifrach b'mem atzinu ikal melef. Excuse me, b'mem atzinu. And so let's underline these words. Ikal melef b'mem atzinu. V'lo parchin and koldu. Again, Satos doesn't give us an answer to that question. Why, Taka, don't we learn? Why did Nisi Ben Yehuda learn Bas V'Cholov derived directly from Kloya Kerem? And maybe the answer to that is going to be that Kloya Kerem is lo Haisalash Asakosha. That's the classified information that we don't know about. But be that as it may, if we would successfully derive Bas V'Cholov from a Babem Atzinu from Klai Kerem, then we would not have a Pircha Koldu. There's no Pircha Koldu on a Bamei Matzinu. That's what Tosfos points out over here. Now, let's just make a catch from where we're holding so that tomorrow we can pick this up. And again, as I told you in the beginning of the week, this is a week-long project. What we're up to now is Rav Ashi's Kasha. Because Rav Ashi understands that once you introduce Klai Kerem into the triangle, as we called it, then we can use a Pircha Koldu, even according to Reish Lakish, Malakulu Shekei Gidui Karka. And now, again, Rav Mordechai is going to be forced to go back into the drawing board of the laws of Pircha in Kal V'chomer, Bamei Tzads, and Tzad HaShavuos, based on Reish Lakish. So let's make a note, we're up to Ella Omar Le Rav Ashi, Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi. Okay then? So let me take this opportunity to wish you a great day, and Emirates Gem will continue tomorrow.